Kids, have you ever had a play date arranged, or you're going to meet some friends maybe someplace, and when you a little bit before, they're like, oh, actually, I've got something else I want to do, because maybe they found something more exciting and they stood you up. Thankfully, we have one who will never, ever break his promises to us. Today, we want to just go into these promises and say, Lord, shine your light on the places where there are promises in our lives that we're not living into. Maybe there's even areas we're not even aware of where we don't really believe that God loves us so much that he wants to fulfill promises beyond your imagination in your life. We're looking at the story of Zechariah and Mary and comparing these two stories. So here we have the story of Zechariah. He was chosen by lot to enter into the presence of the temple where the most holy of holy places was. It was a place where one priest was chosen each year, and the lot fell to Zechariah. And while he was in there, an angel of the Lord, Gabriel the angel, came to him and said, you're going to have a son. And he told about John the Baptist, what his life would become, that he was coming to be, to call people to repentance and to prepare the way for the Lord. And Zechariah's response was, how is that going to happen? I'm very old, and my wife is very old. She's past the stage of bearing children. He was rebuked by that angel. Because really what he said was, how can I know for sure? Even though an angel of God, probably mighty in magnificence and presence, he is feeling the holiness of God. Even though this angel came with a message directly from God, he was doubtful and says, how can I know this for sure? So the angel said to him, because you did not believe my word, you're going to be mute and you will not be able to speak. So what was beautiful here is that even though Zechariah did not respond with faith to the word of the Lord, to the promise of the Lord to give him a son, God still brought it about. There was a consequence. Zechariah was mute for a while, but when John was born and they had to name the baby, he said, his name will be John. He wrote it on a piece of paper, and then he spoke, and his tongue was loosened. God was faithful to his promise, even when Zechariah responded with doubt. That gives me courage, that God will be faithful to me even when I respond with lack of faith. Then let's look at the story of Mary. The angel appeared to Mary. We don't know what that was like. Can you bring up one of the slides of Mary there that I have on the, nope, okay. And anyway, imagine what that was like. He appeared at her doorway or something and said, you have found favor with God and you will bear a son. And he will be the Holy One of God, and there will never be an end to his kingdom or to his reign. Now, Mary's response was very different. She responded with, how will this be? She also asked a question, but she used the verb of being here. Zechariah used the word for to know, which is gnosko in Greek. How will I know this? Mary just said, how will this be? And she used the word of estai or eimi. Said she believed. In other words, how is it going to happen? So in other words, she received it. She believed it. This is going to happen, but hey, since I'm a virgin, tell me, how is this going to happen? Her response is full of faith, believing that the promise of God was for her and that God would fulfill it. So today we want to ask ourselves, how do we respond to the promises of God? How do we know the promises of God which are in his word? The thousands of promises that are in his word. And are we applying them to our lives? God has been and always will be true to his promises. So we ask the question, do we have room in our hearts and in our minds for the promises of God? Is our heart prepared for him to come with his promise, with his hope? Are we prepared to receive and say, yes, Lord? We may ask a question, how will it take place? But we have certainty, this is the promise of the Lord, and it will take place. You know, sometimes we believe in our heads, but we don't believe in our hearts. I know in my own experience, I remember when missionaries come to our church, like our friends today, and they tell wondrous stories. They talk about hearing God's call. They talk about how they were called to go to the mission field. And then they talk how they prayed for people, saw people be healed. They saw miracles take place. And I just remember sighing to myself and saying, oh, I guess they're a special person in God's eyes. But I know I'm not. The promises that they were laying hold of, I felt like, were for special people. People that God saw and looked at is like, okay, this person's really fervent, or this person has really done a lot of good things, or this person is strong in prayer, therefore I'm going to work in power through this person's life. Sometimes we feel like, you know, I've just messed up too much. God's promises can't be valid for me. I'm not spiritual enough. I don't read my Bible enough. But that's not how God sees us, friends. God sees each and every one of us as special in his eyes, and he's waiting to pour out his Spirit on anyone who will say, yes, Lord, I receive your promise, and I believe your promise is for me. I had a hard time receiving this. I struggled for a long time with this. Like, no, it can't be right. I know I'm not good enough. I don't expect God to work through me. Then I came across a scripture. Jesus, the prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17, 23. It says this: then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. When I read that verse, I'd read this passage over and over again, but I think my eyes were just blind to that part right there. Jesus was praying for his disciples the night before he was crucified. He said, I'm also praying for all of those who will believe in me through their word. So he was praying for us right then and there. And he says, I know that you've sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. I remember hearing someone say, do you know, God loves you as much as he loves his son Jesus. And again, I was just like, yeah, right, no way. I fought inside. But when I waited on God and I struggled and searched for him, this verse came through and I received it. God loves me as much as he loves his son Jesus. He gave his son Jesus to die for us because he loves us so much. God loves you as much as he loves anyone else in this world. That includes the evangelists. It includes people like Billy Graham. He's gone on to heaven. But God loves you just as much. And his appointment for you is there. His calling, his anointing, and his promises are for you. Each one of us is special in the eyes of God. One person is not more special than another. And you know what? It doesn't matter how good we've been, how much we've served him, or how spiritual we are. God sees you right now. And he says, you are my beloved. I love you. And I'm longing for you to be in relationship with me. Psalm 17, verse 8 says, keep me as the apple of your eye. When I read that earlier, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's David. Of course he was the apple of God's eye. Look, he did so many great things. But the truth is that verse is for all of us. We are the apple of God's eyes. Think about a parent who looks at their baby, and that baby is everything to them. Even more and greater is the love of God for us. The apple of God's eye also means that you protect it. If someone tries to go in your eye, whatever, you immediately defend yourself. Our God is defending us. So you are that special person to whom the promises of God are given. You are the apple of his eye. And all of his promises in God's word are for you. I'd like to look at a few more scriptures that confirm this. First of all, there's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken to us to the glory of God. Just let this verse rest here. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Now think about that. So any promise that you find in God's word and you ask for it, what is the answer? Yes. I want to hear that one more time. Any promise you see in the word of God and you ask for it, what's the answer? Yes. It's automatic. We don't have to struggle. We can receive it. Yes, God, I receive this promise from you. As many promises God has made, they are yes in Jesus Christ. Why is that? It says they're in Christ. Because what I said earlier, it doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter how many sins we've committed, how deep and dark we've strayed, what things we've done in this world. When we repent, and when Jesus covers us, when our lives are made new in him, and we're washed by his blood, and our sins are forgiven, then we can ask, and in Christ, the answer is yes, because we are in Christ. And God looks upon us with favor, not because of what we've done, because he looks and he sees the presence of Jesus, because we are in him. Right now, we are in Christ. His presence is here. He cleanses us. He forgives us. How beautiful is this promise. Going on then, in Joshua 21, verse 45, it says, not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. So at that point, Joshua and those who were with him, they look back on the time of Israel, taking them out of Egypt, everything that God had done, and they said, every single promise that the Lord has given has been fulfilled. Not one of them has failed. Going back to our scripture, in Luke 1:37, it says, Gabriel said to Mary, for no word from God will ever fail. Let me read that again. No word from God will ever fail. And then Mary received that word. Gabriel told her that Elizabeth, her cousin, had already conceived and was going to bear a child. And so she got up immediately and went to be with her. And when she walked into the door, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and started prophesying about Mary. And one of the words that she proclaimed is, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Blessed. Because you believed the Lord would fulfill his promise to you. You are blessed when you believe that the Lord will fulfill his promises to you. Another passage in 2 Peter 1:3-4 says this, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in this world caused by evil desires. So let's just break this apart a bit. We have everything we need in our knowledge about God, and he's given us his great and precious promises. And then through these promises, we may participate in the divine nature. What does it mean to participate in the divine nature? This is one of the promises of God. He invites us in Christ to participate in his presence, his divine nature. In other words, to step out of the corruption in this world, to step out of the things that hold us down, the doubts and the fears, the self-doubts, all these things. We step into Christ, into his great promises, and we are then into the divine nature of God, which means we're becoming like him. It means that all the power, all the authority that he's given to Jesus, he also then shares with us. That we have authority, as was shared earlier. We have authority over all the power of the evil one. We have power in the place of prayer. and we stand in God's promises with faith in his word, and we see divine miracles take place through us. That is God's appointment. He wants us to be a miracle-working people. And the greatest miracle is when we receive Jesus and we're made new. So again, do you believe that God will fulfill his promises to you? And what promises are there in God's word for you? Now, I printed out a sheet that each one of you got on the way in. I think I have it here. And I'd like you just to start looking at this a little bit. We're not going to read through all these promises, but these are just promises that are very special to me. I'd like to you today to at least take one promise that you're going to claim for yourself that says, here is a promise that I need to activate in my life. And stand in faith in believing this promise is for me. Let's go into the nature of promises in the Bible. So promises are given in the Bible that are specific to that situation, but because of God's character and the truth about who he is, we can claim that promise for ourselves. For example, in Joshua 1:9, it says to Joshua, the Lord is speaking, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear and do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Now that was a word for Joshua. But is that also a promise for us? I believe that it is. We know that God wants us to be strong and courageous, to not be afraid, to not be discouraged. And yes, the Lord is with us wherever we go. He will never leave us or forsake us. There are then also specific promises that we can't claim in God's word. For example, one is in 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 5. He's speaking to Solomon. "I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel." We can't claim that one for ourselves. It was very specific just to King Solomon. So as we study God's word, we can look and say, is this a promise that applies to me, or was it only a promise for that time and place or to a specific person? And then there are promises that God speaks directly to us. Sometimes it's through a scripture. A scripture comes to life, and it's just clear God saying, this is for you. I'm stirring in your heart right now, and we feel that sense of quickening, and that word then becomes living for us. But there are also times when God gives us a specific word. How do we know it's from the Lord? When we hear something in our mind, sometimes we just don't recognize actually God is speaking right now. I know for me, I feel like a quickening in my heart. Like my breath starts going, and I realize, okay, what I'm hearing seems to be the Lord. Sometimes it comes through circumstances or even a word that is spoken through someone else. But we need to pay attention for the Lord's specific promises for us. One time that I remember very, very clearly, I opened my Bible one morning. I was meditating on his word and just feeling at peace. It was beautiful, feeling the Lord's presence and just waiting. And I heard the words. Maybe I've shared this before, but it says, "Tim, do you remember the dream that you have?" I'm like, "Yes. I'm going to fulfill your dream very soon." And I'm like, all right. I said, "Well, okay, how is this going to happen? What do I need to do?" He says, "You don't need to do a thing. I'm going to do it all. But don't be ashamed of your dream. Start sharing it with other people." And the coming months, I saw this promise of God fulfilling this dream, this vision that I had. Amazing. It just started unfolding. It was a miracle in my life. So God speaks to us in specific ways. Each one of us, sometimes it's a calling, or sometimes it's something more every day. But we need to believe in God's promise that he speaks to his people. It's not in the sheet there, but I've said it many times. The phone number for God is Jeremiah 33:3. "Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know." Now, about hearing God's promises and also applying the promises in his word, there are some conditions. So God's love is unconditional. His favor for us is unconditional. But it says in Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. With all your heart. So in other words, we can't pick and choose the promises of God. Okay, God, I'd like this blessing in my life, but you know, I'm not walking with you. I'm not giving my whole life over to you, but I want these promises. Jesus says, we give up everything for him. He says, take up your cross and follow me. It's this obedience, this complete surrender, and the searching and seeking of God. Of saying, God, I want to search for you and find you. I love you with all my heart, all my being. And we say this, we confess it out loud. Psalm 84:11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Okay, there's another condition. Friends, we have to be blameless. Now that was, again, a hang-up for me for many years. Well, God, I'm not blameless, so forget it. But the truth is, we are made blameless in Jesus. And that's the good news. Without Jesus, it's hopeless, friends. We're lost. We're doomed. But we can turn to him in a moment. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me. Give me a new life. Forgive me my sins. Cleanse me. Wash away all my sins. And he is faithful to do just that. And even if you're this morning looking back earlier this morning and saying, oh, but I just messed up this morning, then right now, Lord, forgive me. And you are cleansed. And in the eyes of God, you are blameless. Blameless. The guilt is washed away, and God does not remember our sins anymore, even in that instant. It's really just that. It's turning to God immediately. We don't have to prove to him after a couple weeks of trying hard, okay, God, now I'm living a holy life. In every moment, we walk moment to moment in the grace of God, knowing his forgiveness, his cleansing, and knowing I am made blameless. God looks upon me with joy and delight. Here is my son. Here is my daughter that I delight in. How beautiful that is. One promise that I claim often is 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we simply walk in the light, confessing our sin, he purifies us from all sin. Another important one is Romans 10:9-10. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So again, we believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, and with the promises of God as well. We read a passage of scripture, we believe in it in our heart, say, Lord, I believe this. And then I confess it out loud. Sometimes this takes time. Inside there's resistance. I remember when at one point in my life I would read these promises and inside I'd just be like, I can't. I even struggle to say it out loud. I start reading a verse and I'd stop because I knew I didn't really believe it. But I made a choice that I do believe, Lord. Help my unbelief. And I started speaking those scriptures out loud over and over again. I used to carry around a little book with me. And every day I'd read through those scriptures that I knew were struggles for me to believe. And it started building faith in my life as I chose to believe, as I confessed those scriptures out loud. And more freedom started coming into my life. My faith began to grow. Our faith grows by hearing the word of God and by applying it in our lives. So today, my challenge for us is let's make room in our hearts for the promises of God. I'd like to ask you to take a look at this sheet of paper there. We're going to spend just a moment in silence and just glance down through it and see if one of your eyes rests on one. that particularly speaks to you that, and then that you want to claim today and give thanks for? So I'm going to invite our two ushers to come forward and grab some mics. And at the time of Thanksgiving, it's good to hear what we're thankful for. I'd like to invite you, a few people, or more than a few, to share a promise from God's word that you are thankful for. Herb and Blake are ready. Just raise your hand. You can choose a promise from the sheet, or it can be a promise somewhere else in God's word that means a lot to you. I just invite you to stand where you are and say, I am thankful that the Lord, for example, Matthew 28:20, is always with me to the very end of the age. Who would like to go first? Okay, Bonnie. And then Ashley. Amen.
Last week, Pastor Tim spoke about Moses. Moses said to God, if you don't go with us, don't send us. So for me, I'm starting with the promise of his presence. Always present.
Yes.
How does that apply to me? Right now, at my age, many of these gifts I've used throughout the year have kind of shaken down, and I'm left with prayer being my major gift into this congregation. So as I looked at these promises that Tim suggested, I went to Luke. I wanted to see context, and I saw Jesus was giving them what we often call the Lord's Prayer or the Apostles' Prayer, the Disciples' Prayer. And after that, he has a parable showing some teaching. So I'm taking that teaching and applying it to me as I pray for you all. I'm going to do the correct verb tense and grammar to say, ask and keep on asking and you'll receive.
means I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Beautiful promise.
Amen. A few others? Norma?
Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you and uphold you with my righteousness, with my righteous right hand. One of the blessings of being my age is that I have time to pray. When you're younger, you're busy. But I think I'm near to the Lord now that I've never been, because I have time to spend time with the Lord and to pray and prepare for my family and for my church.
Amen.
Blessing, when you get older, that's what you have to look forward to.
Amen. Okay. At least one more person? Marshall, over here. Or we'll have two more people.
Okay.
Amen. Over here.
I just want to affirm Isaiah 41:10. When I have things that I have to face that I don't want to face, I claim that verse. Think about it several times. And do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Amen. Thank you. Okay. Thank you all for sharing. It's wonderful to hear from different things going on in our congregation and what's happening in your lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I invite our worship team to come up as for our song of response. Lord God, we thank you that you are patient with us. Lord, we thank you. You've chosen us and set us apart for your purposes. That, Lord, we are indeed special in your eyes. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Son, who gives us new life, that cleanses us from all sin and makes us blameless. That we can stand before you, our Lord and our God, confident in your promises of what you want to do in our lives. Lord, we repent of our unbelief, of times when we don't believe that you really want to work through us, when we think we're not up to it, or we're not worthy, or whatever it is, Lord, we repent from this. We want to be a people, Lord, who stand strong in your word and your promises. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, come and work through us. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, Lord, as we gain strength in you, and as we then, in faith, Lord, go out to do your work in this world. Lord, I pray for anyone right now who just is questioning whether there's really a call of God on their life. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to them right now. Lord, a person who feels like they've been asleep for a long time and just waking up to your promises, I pray, Lord, you would speak to them that you are there and you are indeed holding out your hand and you're inviting them to come on this adventure of faith with you. So if that's you, I just say, hold out your hand to the Lord Jesus and know that he is taking hold of your hand and he holds tight and he will never let you go. Lord, thank you for giving us life. We thank you, we love you, and we praise you. And we ask you, Lord, come in power again into our lives. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.